Would you rather be lonely forever or constantly surrounded by people who annoy you?
Once you get over that 4 hours of screen time, then your likelihood of experiencing loneliness, anxiety, depression, like skyrockets once you hit over that 4 hours.
Just because we feel alone, like loneliness does not mean that God is absent.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Huddle. As always, we are so grateful to be sponsored by Sports World. Without them, we would not be able to do what we are able to do. And as always, joined by Nathan and Brian. How are we doing today, fellas?
I'm doing great.
Stupendous.
Awesome. So what we're going to talk about today, and I would think about this, that we're going to talk a little bit about friendship. We're going to talk a little bit about loneliness. If someone listened only to his introductions and his out of the world introductions, they would say that guy's got to be a lonely guy. This guy who doesn't have any friends, because there's nobody who could be friends.
There's no way I'm lonely. Of all the voices in my head, I've got company all the time.
Do you like that? That's good.
I think it's great. Yeah. Speaking of lonely, it's kind of cool. So at small groups, we have random like icebreaker warm up kind of things like that. And one of the questions that I asked my students was, "Would you rather be lonely forever?" Or constantly surrounded by people who annoy you? And what do y'all think the majority of people
All right,
think?
So give us a question one more time. To be lonely?
Would you rather, be lonely, alone, completely alone, or surrounded by people who annoy you?
What do you think?
I think they all chose lonely.
Don't take this long.
I'm going to guess lonely, no?
Overwhelmingly, everyone wanted to be would rather be surrounded by annoying people.
Wow.
And it blew. Wow. I thought that was, and for me, I like it. Knowing people, I just have fun with them.
Well, you're gifted at it.
It's a
spiritual gift.
There's just something about it.
I can see that.
I vibe with annoying people. It's like
nobody who's watched this for any length of time is surprised by
right.
that.
But I thought it was really cool that even when confronted with the choices, we would rather not be alone. And yet, loneliness is an epidemic that we have just seen continuing to skyrocket. And it is such a thing where the epidemic of people feeling lonely and all the things that come with that. And I think this is definitely a good time to.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about loneliness today. And it would seem like that wouldn't be correct because of how connected we are in society, right? Through social media, right? We're more connected than we've ever been. We have more access to more information and more people and more viewpoints than anybody probably has. This is not a wrong statement. Historically, ever.
Right, ever.
We have more access at our fingertips. So certainly loneliness can't be a real problem today.
Yet at the same time, like all statistics would show like the most lonely we've ever been, and every single generation
That's right.
is just getting more and more and more lonely. There's like a million different like surveys and stuff, but I wrote down a couple of interesting ones on here. 54%, this was in 2025, 54% of adults said they felt isolated.
Wow.
50% said they feel left out, and 50% said they feel that they lack companionship.
And these were adults?
Often. And it was, this is often or some of the time. Yeah, this is adults.
Wow.
Teenagers, obviously everything points to the similar thing. And I think that's an interesting like question that you pose, because I would assume loneliness, because right. they're like, well, that's like how I live right now. Right. But man, yeah, that's interesting. That is telling.
That is
interesting. Right. And Jonathan Haidt in his Anxious Generation book, he just basically since the ubiquitous nature, that's a fun word.
Love it. Good job.
Of the iPhone and social media where everyone has that. It has just from, I think it was 2010 to 2018, the rates of anxiety and depression more than doubled within the younger generation.
I was reading a recent study on, and I wish I could quote the source as you did, which is great, but talked about how whenever they've intentionally taken away like social media access, that like mental health, the scores that they had, that they all improved.
Oh, wow.
Right.
At the middle of, so like they mandated, you're not going to be able to. And they did this kind of little study. It was a brief study. It was like 30 or 60 days, but they were able to measurable markers of depression and anxiety right. went down. Like we kind of know that kind of in an intuitive way, we kind of know that, but they were actually able to show the real data from this, which is not surprising.
Yeah. And teenagers, there's statistics that would show like that 4 hour screen time mark. Once you get over that 4 hours of screen time, then your likelihood of experiencing loneliness, anxiety, depression, mental health in general, like skyrockets once you hit over that 4 hours. And that's not including those studies, like don't include like schoolwork and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just like your 4 hours of screen time, which feels like Like, man, that's quite a bit, but it's really not for like the way that the
students. So let's talk to you real quick, because we have kind of a broad range of viewers from older to younger, right, and stuff. Because 4 hours seems like, oh my gosh, that's a ridiculous amount of time. And you're saying, not really, right?
Yeah, so the person who says, that sounds like a ridiculous amount of time, I would say Candy Crush counts too. So is it actually that long?
Yeah, okay, maybe not.
You're 8 hours of Candy Crush, actually. Yeah, but students, they spend so much more than that. Like you could pick, like just isolate just like YouTube or something.
Yeah.
And that 4 hour mark would still be hard for a lot of them to like, get underneath, and that's not even including all the other things of them, and that's even just like the tick and the addiction of just opening your phone and looking at it all the time, which it's interesting, like our iPhones, I'm assuming other phones probably do too now, like they'll show not just your screen time, but how many times did you like pick up and open your phone.
Gosh, I don't like to look at that one
because
I don't either.
Do you want to guess the average?
Do you know it?
200 to 250 times a day, which is basically just all the
I believe.
And that's pretty reasonable because I would have to judge myself on that same thing, right?
Yeah.
How many times have I said it?
That's the average.
With my wife and you know, make sure I thought I'd have a text coming up instead of just putting my phone in another place or face down.
And we sound like the I know when I talk with our students about this too, like
I feel like
I'm like the get off my lawn.
Yeah, exactly. Hey kids, get off my yard.
But again, there's direct correlation between like loneliness and time spent on these devices. And if you just think like practically, like you don't have to go over to a friend's house anymore to go hang out and spend time because you can put on your headset and you play video games with them. Like you don't have to put load up your PlayStation in your backpack and ride your bike to your friend's house anymore or whatever. Or Jeff, I don't know what the equivalent would be for you. But there's less like we're more connected, but also more distant than ever. And that's on like the teenage side of it. And on the adult side of it, I think that people trick themselves too much into thinking I'm too busy for that, man.
Right.
Especially amongst men. Right. There's like just men just don't have friends. Right. They don't have friends these days. I'm too busy for friends.
Right. Right. Well, I think it's kind of cool. We're talking about what's happening in modern day, but this isn't something that is just now.
Right.
Obviously, it's a lot more obvious now with just the emergence of technology and the way that we're able to track it in the data and everything like that. But if you look at in the Bible, there are multiple biblical characters who you could just see that are having times of loneliness or depression or isolation and things along those lines. And so it's not just like a current thing. It's actually just a human thing that we go through bouts of loneliness. I'm curious, did y'all ever go through any periods of your life where you felt alone, even around people?
Let you go first.
I don't know that I would like classify it as like any kind of like chronic loneliness or so, but I definitely have had seasons where I feel like I'm aware and I know I should not be feeling as lonely as I feel right now because, and I know it's a lie, right? I know like I'm not alone. I have like not just like family and a wife and friends and a God that are there close to me, but like it almost has times has felt like, man, that's like, I know that in my head, but it doesn't actually materialize into anything.
I would say probably the most acute case is when I lost my father, when my father passed and went to be with the Lord, he passed on a, we actually did the funeral on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and then I flew out Friday to go speak.
Oh, wow.
And went Friday, Saturday, Sunday to speak at this revival that I'd committed to and wanted to do, and I actually thought I could cancel it, and the guy would have understood if I canceled it, but I thought, man, this is going to be really helpful for me, right?
Right.
But I really, but I remember sitting in my hotel room, and I remember getting ready to go speak that night, not knowing how I was going to do it. And like I said, plethora of people, wife, kids, family, all hurting, suffering, struggling. That Saturday they had went through where he lived and they were just taking out, emptying his possessions. And I wasn't there because I was at the city. And again, my wife let me do it because she thought, you know, it's going to be better for him if he's out preaching. And I remember thinking, man, I'm alone.
Right.
Right. I'm here by myself in this hotel room. And tough.
Right.
Tough times. So that's a real, I can remember it most acutely then.
Right. Yeah, same. So I think it's kind of cool that we've all had experiences of loneliness. Yeah, at the same time, we wouldn't necessarily, especially now, like identify as someone who is lonely.
No.
And so there is a seasonal aspect, but then there's also one that is more perpetual in nature. And so it's kind of interesting just since we all are essentially going to face this, I don't really like it, but if you look at Elijah in the Bible about some of the real bouts that he had when he was alone, or you probably Jonah, but you know, he's kind of a wimp, but so I don't want to go there with him, but so many biblical characters and with this. And I like using specifically us and then Elijah and Jonah as well. Like just because we feel alone, like loneliness does not mean that God is absent.
That's right.
And so that's one of the things that's so hard to sometimes like like feel when we are in that season.
Yeah, that he's always with us as believers. His spirit lives right inside of us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So those are truths that we have. But I think simultaneously, as we're talking about this relationship with God, that similarly, we shouldn't be lonely in the way that we live our life.
Right.
We're called to live it in community.
Right.
And this is a little bit, the last warning is probably for me for loneliness, in isolation, awful things happen.
Oh, yeah. No argument there. So we obviously know that there are ramifications. So specifically in situations where you have people that are loving you and stuff like that, like obviously you could have tragic events, but why do we think that so many people feel like just lonely right now at epidemic proportions? Epic, not epidemic proportions.
Yeah, I think that there has, I'm not like really backing this up with much out of just my like observable like opinion and thoughts. I think that there's a lack of like deep, meaningful conversations with people. So then we feel lonely because no one really knows like who I am and what I like think and those kind of things, because we are not having those deep conversations. I don't want to take it off the rails too far, but and looking up some of the like just random statistics of like loneliness and stuff, I came across several where they would talk about the statistics of like number of adults that feel like stress over the like societal division that we have right now.
Interesting.
That feel stress over that. And then it would segue into a high degree of loneliness too. And some of these, there are several things, maybe almost kind of drawing some correlation there of like, well, there's just a really divided, like, we're in a divided world right now, right?
Yeah.
And country. So then it's like, well, I'm nervous about that divide. So then it's really easy to just make all of my interactions be a like kind of a head nod and a wave. And then, well, then there's no real deep connection there. So then even around people, I feel lonely.
I think that, and I won't go off on too much, I think it's a brilliant observation. And I think what it happens is because that which doesn't require real connection.
Yeah, or commitment.
Is it has such a satisfying appeal.
Yeah.
Because like, the 30-second reel, we make our living off of 1 minute long reels, but the 1 minute long reel is satisfying because it doesn't require, it doesn't cost me anything. But it also doesn't have any deep meaning. We're going to have a music episode coming up here soon. I was talking about this with my son that the pop song, they call it candy for your ears, that it's this thing that appeases you for just a second, but there's no real connection to it. There's no depth to it.
Right.
Right. And I think that's what happens in most of life. It's enticing to have the benefit of it without any of the investment in it.
Right. Right.
Right.
It's like in the movie Fight Club. We're not going to talk about it, but in that movie, they have single serve friends is what he would talk about on the plane. And so that's kind of how we view people as like, well, this is my time to, oh, cool. And I've got what I've needed out of you. But if I invest too much in there, then I'm vulnerable. And we can't have that. So I would just want to use you up and then be done with you.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't remember that show because I don't watch secular TV, but or Modus, but you don't know
it's
what
not a show. I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah. It's the opposite of other things where we talk about, vegetarians. But anyway, the thing is where you got to tell everybody you're one. That's true, isn't it? Right. And CrossFit. Those are two things. But we tell everybody about it. This show's going off the rails. But that which takes to be lonely is sometimes feels like it's easier, is what I'm saying, than to have real connection, real feelings. And I'm going to tell you again, and I spoke about it previously in an episode, that there is real danger in isolation. Hmm. When the only interaction we get with other people is on YouTube or through some platform, and that's the only interaction we get, that's not real life.
Right.
And you can't be held accountable. You can't be accountable to others. Often we're fearful of people actually knowing who we are.
Right. Right.
Right. Wait, to know where the real know. Go.
You said that it's sometimes people that are in loneliness or they don't necessarily have these connection because it feels easier to be in loneliness. And I would say, no. It is. It's hard to actually go out there and invest in people and to be out there. It's hard to go and make real friends and dive deeper and not just have the, oh, how about this weather? Oh, the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, no, right. When you actually have, no, how are you treating your wife? How is that relationship going?
Yeah, and we're trading, but in doing so, we're trading what we want most for what we want now.
Yeah.
What I want most is real connection, real relationships, real accountability, real growth. What I want now is none of that, the difficulty of that.
Right.
So I'd rather have just to say, how's the game going? How's that going? But because in that connection, because there's accountability. But again, I see real danger in being isolated. When you're not thinking clearly, you don't know you're not thinking clearly.
Right.
And when you're lonely and isolated, again, to bring back my dad's thing, I felt completely alone, and that wasn't true.
Yeah.
I had people that were praying for me. I had a church that was excited to see me that night. I had family back at home that was praying for me. So I didn't even perceive, because of the way I felt lonely, I wasn't even perceiving the world correctly.
Right.
Does that make sense? I was seeing it through an incorrect lens.
Yeah. And I think that we, you know, it's good, and rightfully so. We want to point to the people that we have around us, and we can always look at the people that you have, even when you feel lonely. You're not actually, you have these people. But as Brian already mentioned, like, we also want to recognize, like, when we feel lonely, like, God is still present with us. Amen. Even when it feels like He is absent. That if you're in Christ, then literally the presence of God is in you and goes with you. I like to think about or look at the Great Commission with that. Because it's been like, for the disciples, it's been like this like roller coaster lately for them, and that they experience, you know, following CGS, doing all these miracles. They experience the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, and then He gives this like huge command of, hey, you're going to go and make disciples of all nations, and then He leaves, and then He ascends and goes to heaven, and then He tells them that at the end of the Great Commission, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So like this reminder, this roller coaster of emotions, I'm sure loneliness mixed in there. And fear and all this stuff. And He tells them, behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. Now, it's one thing to say that and another thing to like actually live and walk in that reality, right. I think.
Yeah. So He says He's going to give him another. It's a helper. Right. And this helper is going to live. He's going to live inside of you.
Yep.
That it never, ever, ever leaves us. But I would say, and you're exactly right, so that no matter how alone we are, we're never really truly alone. Right. If we're Christians and believers, because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. But the normal way that God works through the New Testament is that we grow in community.
Right.
We grow. We can't emphasize enough that we need to be in a Bible-believing church.
Right.
Where people tell us the truth about us, and we're able to do that in a safe place. I would caution, you know, everybody doesn't need to know what we're going through.
Right.
But some people do.
Yeah.
And some people need to know that. And in isolation, your brain can begin to think incorrect things.
Absolutely. And this time of the year especially, people are definitely going to feel more lonely for lots of different reasons. It could be they've lost a loved one. This is their first Thanksgiving or Christmas without that loved one.
Yeah.
It could be they just went through a breakup or a divorce or something. And then what this new life looks like. And all of these different things, when you have this extra time on your hands just due to being out of your routine, all of a sudden that loneliness has a chance to creep in. So what do we, one, how do we as believers help to look for those who are lonely? And then if we are struggling with loneliness and we're feeling that, and how do we address it? What do we do to find help?
Yeah, I think the very first step always is going to be just recognize the immense value that you have. Recognize Amen. The incredible value that you have, that God sees you as valuable enough to send His Son to suffer on your behalf, to die the death that we deserve so that we can have life, so we can be made right with Him. Because so often our loneliness leads us to a place of really low self-esteem. And I think that's the first thing, is we recognize that, man, you have immense value in the eyes of God.
Yeah. And that is God able to identify with that loneliness? Well, yeah, Jesus was.
Yeah.
Because Jesus had suffered the cumulative suffering and sins of all of mankind on His back, and all of that was placed upon Him. So to be separated to God the Son did that for all of us. So we need to recognize we have value, and then we need to intentionally, I say that we need to intentionally seek out to be connected.
Right.
And that is terrifying to yes. some. Terrifying to some. To some, that's this thing. My daughter, I won't say her name, Brooke.
Thought you were going to say Graham.
Hates churches at church when you welcome one another and shake hands.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's just a place that just brings her such, oh my gosh. You know, people are looking at me or talking to me, right? That's your
PTSD place. From the ballet got her there. Like, whoa.
But think about that, because it's just overwhelming to her. Right. It's hard for her. It's difficult to her. But you know, some people live for that.
Yeah.
This is the greatest time when I want a connection. I would say for those of us who have tendencies to be lonely, we simultaneously reject, this is not my daughter, maybe we reject community.
Right.
And so we got to be careful that perhaps sometimes we feel so isolated because we've isolated ourselves, and our loneliness is something that we've done on our own. Yeah.
And I think kind of flowing out of that is, I think it's usually helpful to ask the question, if I'm struggling with loneliness, of is there somebody that I need to forgive? Like, is that part of the reason I'm struggling with loneliness? Is because I have been holding on to unforgiveness, and that therefore the people that I maybe would have community with, maybe someone who's not involved in a church or something. And is there people close to me that I've like, I'm holding on to unforgiveness, and that's part of what's causing, like, bringing this loneliness upon me, neglecting community in that way.
And some of it's not even real, right? This obstacle that we've presented in our mind that's causing us to have this division between people. It's not even real.
Right.
And we've inflated in our mind. We've made it something bigger than it is, a bigger indiscretion than it is. And so therefore community has that. But I think it can be enhanced in an unfortunate, in a negative way, when we perhaps haven't had family that's been loving and kind and gracious, right? That we, you know, there's been division as we go into holiday season. There's division where, you know, people fight over certain things, right? And that's just what an unhealthy thing that is, as to have to take place. But even those of us who grew up in healthy homes, this can take place. And so we need to have an antidote for it. And the way we need to do that is we need to intentionally seek out to have relationship, real relationships with other people. For me, that takes place in the local church.
Right. But and Galatians 6:2, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. And so an aspect of that is that most people that are experiencing loneliness, they don't just come up to you and say, "Hey, I'm lonely."
Right.
It's great if you do. Please do. Especially find your local extrovert and go and tell them so they can help.
Brian Hasley.
Happy to help. Come on with it.
Let me fix you.
I've got a free hug just waiting for you.
He does.
The thing about hugs, one size fits all.
Don't get any better.
Could look for, to be looking for in our friends? Like, what are some things that we might notice in our friends so we can go and just find out how they're really doing?
Yeah, so I'll have things, you know, when I text someone or call someone and they haven't called back. Oh, that's not true. You don't think of any of your phone calls. But shots fired. But the thing is that those people that often, and not always, it could be the business of life, so we want to be careful about that. But the people who reject this connection the most are often usually people that need it the most, right? And the people who give you surface level answers, they don't give you anything, whether it ever has any depth in it too. And again, I think we need to be cautious. I mean, honestly, we've said this multiple times. These are my friends and I love them dearly. You're going to get a different answer than certain people will get.
Right,
hey, how was your day? How was your trip? You're going to get the real thing, right? But there's other people's, and I don't think we need to tell everybody all of our problems, but I think we need to have people to connect. And again, I'm saying that again, we need to recognize those people in local church. That's where we do it.
Right.
Right. Whenever we see somebody at church is sitting by themselves.
Right.
I mean, I go talk to them. Right. Yep. Yeah. I'm thinking of even multiple examples this last few weeks. You know, when we go to church and I see somebody
sitting by themselves. You haven't been at church, so I don't believe
you. That's true. I was on vacation last week. If I see somebody sitting by themselves, I'm intentionally going to go seek them out and say, hey. Yep. And, you know, for an introvert like my daughter, that's going to make her very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But perhaps, you know, we need to be okay in that discomfort.
Yeah. I think the community part matters, where we say you need to be intentional in connecting. That helps get out of loneliness. But it also is something that we do to help others who are walking through loneliness. Is I have to be intentional. I can't know if someone is struggling through loneliness if I don't take the time to get to know them.
Right.
And then if we operate under the assumption of there is some sort of relationship there. So you mentioned like with a friend,
right,
Brian. I think then that's really where those things like that you mentioned, Jeff, kind of come into play of withdrawing, where they kind of withdraw from the group, where stuff starts to seem really short, where answers and the phone calls, all that stuff seems really, really quick. Yeah, everything's good. Everything's fine. And then kind of real quick with that. And then another one, just practical, I think when things that used to like kind of get them excited, if I talked about this, the sport or this, whatever, man, it feels like that same like excitement and energy is not there with them anymore.
Yep.
So that's great, great things to identify. I think even as you were talking about this, I wonder how, our church is a healthy church. Grace Point's a healthy church, but I wonder how this is exhibited in a youth group in a way that it's maybe not exhibited in the youth. I will tell you this because I know what kind of youth pastor you are, and we joke all the time. He's an unbelievable youth pastor, a great pastor. If a high school kid came in from high school that was by himself and didn't have any friends, he would be welcomed by multiple people in the youth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And even if people didn't know, he went to go to Ryan High School, I go to Ryan High School. And they would identify him. They would connect with him.
Right.
As they would. And isn't that funny that I would probably observe that in general, as I look at churches across the nation, I would observe that in a youth, healthy youth church service in a way that I wouldn't observe in the main church, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. Now they might go to the student and say, "Hey, my youth pastor, my small group leader said I'm supposed to come talk to you. So, hey man, what's
up?" Not true, but isn't that true though? Think about it.
Yes.
So absolutely. Tell me that, and that's not to put you on this, but if a kid came in from high school and walked in there and he didn't have any friends, What's the chances that in your youth group that young people go and talk to him?
Chances are really high because if they don't, then our leaders hopefully would recognize that too. Where they would talk to them, and then they would, even better, the bonus is send one of your students over that way.
Or three.
Or three of your students over that way. But I think maybe sometimes, like, and adults kind of do this, but like students and kids are really good a lot of times at just walk into an environment with a bunch of kids you don't know and just go start, like, next thing you know, you look over and they're playing ping pong together or something. Yep. Because I think they, well, one, maybe they're less embarrassed about what they might sound like or something, but I think they just know what it feels like.
Yeah.
They know what it feels like, and that moves them to action. Whereas adults, maybe we know what it feels like and we say, man, that sucks for them.
Yeah. No, I could not agree more. I think also kind of circling back on when you talked about someone who might, they could be in a very busy season or something like that. And you also mentioned withdrawal. You mentioned that they're not as excited about certain things. It's kind of tongue in cheek, but like their smile doesn't like match their eyes. Like you can just see, like, it's one of those things. And I don't want to ever get, like, just make a pass that, well, they're really busy right now. That's when you actually need to push in a little bit more. Like, hey, things are pretty busy right now, but here's kind of what I've been noticing. How are you doing? And then, oh, I'm fine. No. Like, let's talk. And this is when you push back a little bit more, and things might be fine. You're hoping that things are fine, but you never really know.
I think it's important kind of to close it out, but with your young people, they know what it feels like to be awkward and to be by yourself, and therefore they want to alleviate that.
Right.
Now, you've coached them up and you've trained them. I know that. I know that they've been doing it. But I think it comes really natural. I think as adults, we feel somehow that we've outgrown that.
Yeah.
It's hard to be awkward.
Yeah, it is. And it's hard. And you can't be lonely. There's a certain vulnerability to say that you're alone by yourself. But man, that's something that God, first of all, you can get rid of all loneliness by having the Spirit of God live inside of you by knowing him in a relationship. But again, it seems like we say the same things over. But get in community, man.
Right.
Get in a small group. Get into where some people can know who you are. That's the only true way that indeed we can grow in our walk with Christ.
Yeah, I know you're trying to get me to close it out, but I'm gonna not real quick.
Let's go, dude.
So I know, like you just said, with how adults struggle with that. I think one of the reasons is, and we've seen this a lot, I think, recently in some of our comment sections on social media, on some like shorts and stuff like that, specifically talking about like manhood and stuff of when we talk about community of. Like, I'm fine. Like, I've lived life alone for this long and I'm good. I don't need that. So I think like we kind of trick ourselves into thinking like everything is good. Everything's good till it's not. Right. So, and we've already said it a million times, like loneliness, isolation just breeds these issues. But there's so much data that would say loneliness, you feel like I'm good. I can get through it right now. It's just a phase, but it's going to have much higher likelihood of experiencing depression, much higher likelihood of experiencing anxiety. It has physical health impacts, mm-hmm. like on your heart health, on dementia, on stroke, on all of these things. And I found it interesting. And then we can actually close it out, Jeff. I found it interesting in 2023 from the Surgeon General, they had like a report and they wrote up about this stuff. And they said that the health impact of being like socially disconnected is similar to that is caused by smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Yep.
Wow.
So that's why it's a big deal. And that's why we don't just say, hey man, I've made it this far, I'm good, because it's not healthy and it's not the way we were designed.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that what a great thing, and glad that you didn't let us just close out. What a brilliant thing. And I think that it's something that's peculiar to American culture, even. Mm-hmm. I think in a way that we're isolated in ways that other people aren't, that there are other familiar structures in other cultures and other countries that don't allow this to take place, right? That indeed they're connected in a way that gives health and it gives longevity.
Yes.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Yep. Well, hey, indeed, we do want you to know that, man, there is a God who loves you, he cares for you, and you're never alone. And whenever we have God, wherever you're listening, if you're listening on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, we would love for you to go down in the description, and there's a link there that you can fill out that says Win Sports World Merch. You can maybe be the winner of some free Sports World merch if you fill out that thing there. Make sure you leave us a review, like, and subscribe as we can push this out to more people.
Peace.